As always this morning, I would encourage you to find your sermon notes. You can follow along as we go, fill in the blanks if you like. However, unlike most Sundays, I'm not going to begin with any humor, no pithy joke, no personal anecdote, just if-then proposition. So we just heard from our song, all the wonderful and amazing things that our Lord does. We know that in the very beginning of time, he said, let there be light. And so, if God can do that, if when the Lord said, let there be light, and the sun began to shine, and the moon began to glow, and the stars began to twinkle, and the planets began to rotate, then why does God always incorporate his people when it comes to building his kingdom? In other words, we're in the middle of a ministry expansion campaign here. If God is all powerful, if God can raise his only son from the grave, then why can't he just put a fellowship hall and a new sanctuary on the end of our building? Well, obviously he could. He does have that ability. But ever since the beginning of time, God has incorporated his people. So there must be another reason for all of this. And finally, what we want to ask is, Lord, why me? Why do I have to give anything to the kingdom? Well, I think the Bible is very clear on this. There are a number of answers. I want to go through just three of them with you this morning. So if you would take a look at your notes, I would suggest that number one, God wants me to give, and that means you as well. Number one, because giving enables me to try God. Giving enables me to try God. We have this famous passage, or infamous, depending on how you look at it, from Malachi. The Lord says, bring your full tithe to the temple treasury. A tithe is 10%. It's the very first fruits. It's right off the top. In the Old Testament, it was the law for God's people. He said, then there will be ample provision in my temple. And then he says, test me in this and see if I don't open up heaven itself to you and pour out blessings beyond your wildest dreams. So I'm going to ask you, and this is always dangerous to do in church, what are your wildest dreams? Anybody want to share this morning wildest dreams? I've shared some of mine from up here before. So you know that I dream a lot about really amazing things, like dunking a basketball. Because I am not at the stage of my life, well, I never could dunk a basketball. I've been vertically challenged my entire life. So I dream about things like that. I dream about making a hole-in-one on the golf course repeatedly. That would be a pretty wild dream. And I dream about a sanctuary on the south end of Emmanuel. So what do you dream? God says, test me in this. Now certainly, giving is a test to us. But we begin with, it's a test of God's faithfulness. Today in our epistle, we read again another famous passage on giving, which is, you reap what you sow. Now let me explain that a little bit. I grew up on a farm, as many of you know. In the spring, my dad would gather us all together, all of us boys, and we would talk about what we're going to plant. Is it going to be corn this year? Is it going to be beans, some kind of combination? How much should we plant? Do you think my father ever said, boys, this year I want a bounteous crop. We are going to have a bumper crop, so let's plant the smallest amount of seed possible. Of course not. If you want a bumper crop, you plant more seed. And that is what we would get because the seed would produce more. So those of you who have gardens, if you take a handful of corn, each one of those kernels is going to produce what? One kernel? No. 10, 20, 30? You are hoping for 3 or 4 ears of corn with hundreds of kernels on it. We know from our own experience that the more that we plant, the more that we get. And that's what God is saying as a farmer, test me. Test me. Plant more acres. Plant more seeds. And just look what I will do. So giving is like planting the seeds and trusting God. But it's also like a boomerang that not only always comes back to us, but even more importantly, always comes back to God. As you've heard many times, God owns everything. Everything, the entire universe, including me, my body, my health, my money, my children, and everything that I have. And so when I give to the Lord, it's also from the Lord. He first gave to me, and then I return some of it to him through the church. So whenever you give, you will always get back more than you give. Let me explain that. It's not always money, though often it is. It could be something even better. So when my children were little, they are all grown now. We gave gifts, we still do in our family, Christmas and birthdays, for the most part. But those of you that have small children, how much money do small children generally have? You could say not much. In our house, it was nothing. And yet, they wanted to give gifts. They wanted to give a gift to mom and dad on their birthday and Christmas. So what did we do in our household? Probably what you do in yours. I gave my children money to buy me a gift. It's the only way I'm going to get one, right? So I said, go with your mother. Go to the store, back in the days when we went to the store. Pick out something nice for dad. And they would. And they would have the joy. This is the giving more gets more. They would get the joy of giving, they would see the smile on my face. They would get the hugs from me. But you know what else they got? They got more money. You see, they didn't spend it all on me, did they? Of course not. They put the excess in their piggy bank. That's what God does. All of it belongs to him. And he gives us all of these blessings, and he says, the more seed you plant, the more you get, and the more you give. It's like that boomerang that always comes back to him. So first of all, giving enables me to try God. So here's the deal. God has never flunked a test. And he won't flunk yours if you try it. Secondly, giving encourages me and you to thank God. The book of James says every good and perfect gift is from above. It's from heaven. It's from God. And so when you tithe, and this is not a sermon on tithing, but I will say tithing is 10%, the very first fruits, right off the top. But regardless of what you give, it is no longer a law, but an opportunity, you're not really giving that 10% or whatever percent you cheerfully give. No, what's happening is it all belongs to God. He is letting you keep 90% or whatever that he has given you. What he's saying is this: if you give me 10% or 2% or 20%, he's saying, I will do more with what I have left through you than you ever could have done if you kept it all. And so giving is simply a way of thanking God for his generosity. It's a way to thank God for who he is, for our salvation, to be our Savior, for what he's done, for the forgiveness that he has won for me, and for all of those material blessings, our home, our children, our health, our job, our friends. So be grateful and give. Now, I would suggest to you that there are only two kinds of people in the world, and I don't mean church people and unchurched people. I don't mean believers and unbelievers. I mean all people. And I would suggest that there are givers and there are takers, right? Those who give, those who are generous, and those who always have their hand out to receive. But I would also suggest that those two kinds of people are either thankful to God or they're not. And in my experience as a pastor over the years, I would say to you that the happiest people in the world are the most grateful. And the most grateful are also the most generous. You see the correlation. Those who are the happiest are the ones who are the most thankful, who are the ones who are the most generous. Which tells us that our God is filled with joy because he is the most generous being in the universe. Now, the root word here in miserable is miser. I want you to go to the questions there on the right. Second one, you don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to tell me. Think about your number. Where are you on the happiness and the miserable spectrum? 10 being the happiest, 0 being the most miserable. If you're not over a 5, maybe there's a correlation between your gratefulness and your generosity. God loves a cheerful giver because the cheerful giver is the one who recognizes that everything comes from God and they have their hand open, and even as they receive, they willingly give to others. Now, in the Bible, we have the English, God loves a cheerful giver. In the Greek, it is the order that is different. It is the order so often that emphasizes particular words. So in the Greek, that sentence comes out like this: for the one who is cheerful, who is a giver, this is the one that God loves. And even that word for cheerfulness truly means hilarious. It's the only place in the Bible where that word is used, and it refers to our giving. So the more we give, the more grateful we are, the more generous we are, the more that we test God, and it all comes back around once again to trusting in him. So finally, then, giving empowers me and you to trust the Lord. And nothing tests you and your faith like your finances. Even more than your children, even more than your health, it is your finances. And so this morning, I'm going to tell my story once again. A lot of you have heard this over the years, but for those who haven't, it goes something like this. 36 years ago, as I was engaged to my soon-to-be wife, Sharon, I was diagnosed with testicular cancer. I had surgery. I had chemotherapy. I was in the hospital on and off for about 4 months, and then I had continued chemotherapy for another 6 months or so. And that's hard enough, but I had made the mistake of not having medical insurance. So all of those bills from the surgery, from the hospital stays, from all the chemotherapy, 36 years ago was over $250,000, which now I was obligated to pay. Now, before we got married, Sharon and I had the talk, which all married couples or soon-to-be married couples ought to have. It involved things like, well, how many children do you think we want to have? 3, 4, 5, something like that. Where are we going to church? That was an easy one for me because I was going to be a pastor and I would go to my church. But then how much will we give? And Sharon said, we are going to tithe. We are going to give the first 10%, whatever it is, of all the money that we earn, my salary, yours, and we are going to give it to God through the church. Now, I had never tithed before up to that point. Pretty much just gave whatever was left over, even on the farm. I gave whatever my parents gave to me. But I said, all right, we can do that. We'll try that. That's biblical. We'll do that. But then after surgery and the chemotherapy and the hospital, I still had tuition to pay. I still had books that I had to buy. There still were groceries. There still was insurance maybe that we ought to buy now. And all we had was Sharon's salary. And so the conversation then afterward went something like this. How much do you think we ought to give to church? And I said, well, I don't make any money, first of all. Secondly, you just make enough to barely cover our bills, and it is going to take us the rest of our lives to pay back all the rest of the money. And she said, I've always trusted God to take care of us. And so I've always tithed, and we are going to tithe now. And I said, yes, ma'am. And I have to tell you that there was not a bill that wasn't paid. We never missed a meal. All of our needs were met. And every dime of that $250,000 was repaid. Because in God's economy, when you trust in Him, the only question that He's really asking is, are you going to trust me, or are you going to pay this bill? You see, there was a pastor in the church that I grew up in, and along with Sharon's dad, a number of letters were written to everyone that they knew, to churches all across the LCMS, Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. And people came through, and they gave donations to pay for all the medical bills. And as Luke says, this measure that is given to you, shaken and pressed down, is going to produce even more. And so there was so much left over that a fund was started by that church to help others who couldn't pay their bills as well. My friends, the Christian life runs on two tracks, faith and obedience. And we have this enemy called the devil who wants to either throw us in the ditch on one side, to doubt that the Lord can take care of all of our needs, and the ditch on the other side, which is disobedience. You see, God only wants us to be obedient because it will bless us. It is not to restrict us. In His economy, there is always more. And He simply wants us to trust Him with our needs, by giving to Him first. Because finally, God is not in the money-raising business. He's not in the building business. He's in the faith-raising business. So I want to end with this. Three words in the Bible. One is believe. I want you to raise your hand if you believe that word is important in Scripture. Anybody? All of you raised your hand. The word believe is listed in the Bible 272 times. What about prayer? Is prayer important to the Christian life? Raise your hand. I think everybody raised their hand. The word prayer is listed in the Bible 371 times. What about love, as in love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself? You think that's important? Of course, listed 714 times. The word give is listed in the Bible more than all of those three combined. 2,162 times. Look it up. Why? Because nothing builds your faith. Nothing enhances your praying, your talking to God, your conversations with Him, and nothing strengthens your love for God like giving to His work. What is the most famous verse in the entire Bible, the one that all of us have memorized since we were this big? For God so loved the world that He gave. He gave His only Son to win for us forgiveness, new life, and salvation. He gave and He gave and He gave and He gave some more, not to take from us, but to give us His Spirit, to give us the abundant life, and not waiting till we get to heaven and all the mansions and the streets of gold, but to share that life right here and now, to be blessed with all the abundance that God gives, that we might share it with others, that they might be blessed as well. And so let me encourage you, in your giving, it all belongs to the Lord. He's simply sharing with us that as we return a portion to Him, He's saying, test me in this so that I might be honored and glorified. Test me in this to see how I can bless others through you. And so your gratitude and your faith will grow as well. In just 2 weeks, we are going to come to this altar. And I want to encourage every single one of you as a family. And I don't care how much you give, but just that you commit something to the work of the Lord. And as we plant those seeds of giving, let's just see what the Lord might do through you. And so that same light that was created at the beginning of time would now shine through all of us to this community so that others might know Jesus Christ as we already do. Amen. Amen. It's all right.